And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, coming to you from Austin, Texas. And we're glad you're with us today because we're going to discuss one of the most important topics in all of Christendom, in all of the Christian world. This is the Heresy series, volume 2. The Heresy series. Heresy is a very horrible thing. I mean, to become a heretic, an infidel, is a terrible, terrible crime. And today we're going to talk about a group of people who want to be, they act sincere, they want to be pious, they pretend that they are, they believe they're Christian, they believe they're born again, they believe they're headed for heaven, but by the definitions found in the New Testament, they are servants of Satan. And they will even kill you and thinketh that they do God's service. And I've been around these people and they seem so pious and good and holy, but don't cross them on certain things. I'm talking about the people who are of the synagogue of Satan. I'm talking about people who say that they're Christians, but are not. Of course, Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 both discuss the synagogue of Satan. And it says that they claim to be Jews and are not. They claim to be Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. These are the ones that Jesus talked about had the traditions of men and not of God. He stated in Matthew 23, verse 33, ye serpents, you generation of vipers. He declared to them, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Powerful indictment by Jesus Christ himself of the synagogue of Satan, a den of vipers. And they're dangerous because their false teachings result in the massacre of millions of Christians, and great harm comes to the Christian church through their apostate efforts. And I believe they constitute the great falling away revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in which finally an edifice, a building like a temple, declared to be the temple of God, will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist will go in and declare that he's God and above all gods. Now in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, it is a very interesting quote, I guess you could say. Let me read it to you. It says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Where is this angel flying? In the midst of heaven. It must be important. It must be heavenly. It must be a wonderful thing of glory to see an angel flying in heaven. Think about that. He's flying in heaven. He must have a glorious mission to accomplish. What is his mission? It says, having the everlasting gospel. Oh my. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Think about that. This is an angel flying in heaven. But he's being sent on a mission to earth. He's coming to earth. He's going to... Oh, my goodness. This angel is sent by God from heaven, and he has the everlasting gospel. Oh, my. And he's going to preach it. Who's he going to preach it to? Every man that dwells on the face of this earth is going to hear this gospel. Every nation every kindred, every tongue, every people. He preaches the everlasting gospel. What is the everlasting gospel? That's Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. The one sacrifice for all time. There's no other sacrifices. Nothing can equate or be the same or as good as or similar to even than Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Jesus Christ announced on the cross, it is done, it is finished. That's the everlasting gospel. What are you going to get? What are you going to receive? What is your reward going to be? If you receive it, if you take it into your heart, if you are born again through this everlasting, everlasting, everlasting gospel, you're going to receive an inheritance. An inheritance. Oh, boy. You're going to be brought nigh unto Jerusalem. Holy Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. You're going to receive an inheritance. That's a great gift. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know what the inheritance consists of. But if I told you that an angel from heaven has come and announced that he has something to give you, it's a gift from heaven. Ooh, do you think it's going to be a miserly thing? Do you think it's going to be just nothing? I promise you, it will be a considerable inheritance. And when they read the will, to use a euphemism, you better be there for the reading if you want to receive your inheritance. Who does he announce this gospel to? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. He announces it to Israel, Babylon, Syria, Lebanon, Africa. Yes, every nation. Every nation. Everybody that dwells on the earth will hear this gospel. And every nation. It's not just for Israel. Every kindred, that means every tribe, every, you know, bloodline, whatever you want to call it. Of course, Paul said that in Acts that we all come from one blood. The Jew's blood is no different than my blood or your blood or the black man or the yellow man or whatever. We're all the same. We all come under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. He has an everlasting gospel he is preaching. He even has an angel preaching it. But he has others too. Poor people like me that are not really fit for the gospel, but he makes me fit. He gives me the power that I need. And he'll give you the power too. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue, all the languages of earth. You don't have to speak any heavenly language. Some people tell me, well, you got to speak Hebrew or you can't be saved. Are you kidding me? That's the heavenly language. This one says he preaches the gospel, the everlasting gospel, in every language. Every tongue. And all the people. Now you've heard it. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now we're going to talk about Christian Zionists who say, I've never heard of such a thing. I've never heard of this synagogue of Satan. I don't know anything about that. And I don't know anything about chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 6. I don't know about this angel. Actually, there's more than one angel operating. Read that whole chapter. You'll be blessed. But I want to talk to you about these Christian Zionists. First of all, you cannot be a Christian Zionist. Oh my goodness. You know you can't. What is a Zionist? Well, it's really a racist thing. It says there is one race of peoples, and their bloodline can be traced all the way back to Abraham. It includes Isaac, Jacob, and all the patriarchs. And that bloodline, that race, that kindred, that tongue, Hebrew, only they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. They will inherit it through the old covenant. The old covenant. That's what we're told as a Zionist. You believe in the nation, the physical nation of Israel, the carnal nation. You don't worry about the spiritual. You don't worry about spirit things at all. You don't worry about being born again and all those things for the Jews. No. Do they have a certain kind of blood? That they got a certain kind of flesh that makes them a divine species? These are the things you consider. Do they have a city and a nation right here on earth, made of dirt, covered by a sky with trees and desert and so forth, that you can go and worship? Well, you can even go there and build a temple out of human hands. Use your own hands to build a temple. And then God will come in and he'll worship. He'll become your king, your potentate. He'll use that temple and he'll become king of the world. But the Jews, of course, will have precedence because, after all, salvation is of the Jews, and the Jews will be masters of earth, the builders of the kingdom. And their Christ will sit in the temple and declare that he's God, and you'll believe in him, and you'll go to hell. That's what your fate is, Christian Zionist. Zionism is not the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and every Zionist hates and despises the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every true Christian harbors it, keeps it, loves it, praises it, glorifies it in their hearts. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." It's a simple gospel. A simple gospel. For God reaches all kinds of men, intellectual and non-intellectual, and poet and priest and presidents and prime ministers, and he reaches down to the plumbers and the carpenters and the road builders and even to a people that are not fit for work in anything, but they can discern at least the simplicity of the gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord. They know what he came for. Such men are powerful. Such women are powerful because they know, they discern the evil that exists in the word Zionism and the evil that exists in the old covenant today, which is, of course, dissolved, done away with. Now, what would cause a man or a woman to believe in another Jesus and another gospel? Another Jesus and another gospel. For Paul said, "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, you might well bear with him." You better dispute with him. You better argue with him. Basically, you better not listen to him. What would cause a man to believe in another gospel, another Jesus, another Christ? You know, I was on a talk show in Houston, Texas, and the host was a Jew, and we went for a break. And he said, "It's too bad you believe in that Jesus." I said, "Well, Jesus is your Messiah and mine." "Oh, no, he's not my Messiah. No, I'm waiting for another Messiah. He will come." "Ah, yes, you are waiting for another Messiah. Another Christ. He'll come. Just wait on him. He'll come." They don't love the everlasting gospel. Christian Zionists say the gospel is not for the Jews. They have their old covenant. What? They're rejecting the everlasting gospel. There is a gospel. There's a gospel taught by the Buddhists and the Jains and the Sikhs and the Muslims and the Hindus and all the other religions of earth. A false gospel. There's a gospel that's taught by the Satanists and the witches and others. That's a false gospel. And there's a gospel that's taught by Jews. And it's a false gospel. It's a false gospel. Aren't you glad that God has given you the mystery of the kingdom? The keys to the secret of the ages? That is Jesus Christ. Don't believe those in the world who have the deceitfulness of riches. They'll mislead you. Don't believe those who say, I want a glorious Jerusalem in physical Israel. Oh boy. Now, I want you to understand that Judaic Christians, Christian Zionists, are not true Christian. The seed of God is not a fleshly DNA material. The seed of God is spiritual. And when the seed of God is placed in your heart by the Holy Ghost, it begins to grow and shine. And you can't hide its light. You can't put it in a bushel basket, it says in the Bible. It's going to shine. That's the seed of God planted in the heart of a man. What is the seed of God? The Bible says it's the Word of God. The Word, which is Jesus Christ. That's the everlasting gospel. That's the seed. Now, Abraham had that seed, and the Bible says in Galatians that the seed is Jesus Christ. You see, people say the seed, oh, that's all the people of Israel. That's the physical seed. No, that's the physical lineage. That's not the seed. The seed is spiritual. I had a Baptist pastor, in fact, I had several of them, contacted me. He said, Tex, you don't understand. The seed is the physical progeny of Abraham. The seed is the nation of Israel, the Jews. I said, well, then why does it say that if you believe in Jesus, then you have the seed, that you are the seed? Galatians 3, verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye the seed of Abraham, and you're the heir of the promise given to Abraham. Well, he didn't have any answer for me. He said, well, you're talking about the spiritual. I said, yes, I am. Isn't that the only thing that matters? Your flesh is going to go back to dust, and your spirit is going to go either to hell or to heaven. I think I'd be concentrating on my spirit. I think I'd worry about my soul. I wouldn't worry about my body. I'm getting older. I'm getting, I guess, uglier every by the day. I look in the mirror. I say, I've had a few wrinkles this morning. More. I've lost a few hairs. And the ones I've got are turning gray. And I put on a few pounds. Don't tell anybody, but my picture probably betrays me. This old body is going to decay and go away. But my spirit is going to remain. My spirit is one with Jesus because it has believed the everlasting gospel. And when I believe, Jesus put the spirit in me. He gave me the Holy Spirit, and the seed began to grow. You can't stop the seed. Many try to stop it with riches, with all kinds of things. The sun comes and scorches it, tries to kill it. Some people it succeeds, killing the spirit. Well, the Galatians, you see, they believed the Jews. They were Judaizers. They were Zionists, Christian Zionists. But Paul said to them, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Christian Zionists, who has bewitched you that you don't obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Christian Zionist, Jesus Christ has been set forth before you. Your pastor, your mother, your father, a Christian brother, sister, said to you, Jesus Christ died for your sins. But now you've gone back and said, well, let's not talk about Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the Jews. How wonderful are the Jews? How great is their temple? The temple has been destroyed, and we're going to build it back for them again. We're going to build up the nation of Israel. The physical nation is a great nation. It's going to be the premier nation on earth. You don't understand the spiritual meaning of the word seed. Now, Luke 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Who is the word of God? Jesus Christ. The Jews don't have Jesus. They don't have the seed. So Jesus told them, you know, you're not of the Father. I come from heaven. You come from below. Where's below? That's hell. I come from above. You come from below. He told him flat out. They said, no. We have Abraham as our father. If you believed in Abraham, you would believe in me, said Jesus. They were not the seed. Oh, they were what we call a physical seed. They were, you know, the semen, the sperms or whatever, you know, go to all these sexual terminology and definitions. If I find that somebody is the seed of Donald Trump or the seed of Barack Obama or the seed of some king or potentate in some nation somewhere, that's fine and dandy. He's of the same bloodline. He's of the same whatever, you know, given his father and mother. He's the physical seed. Is that important? It is when he's on earth, maybe. But then he dies, and what happens? What happens for all of eternity? Then it only asks, God only asks this question, what seed have you got planted in you? The seed of evil, of the devil, or the seed of me? My seed, which is the word of God, or the word of Satan. But the Jews said, we're of Abraham's seed. But what did Paul say in Galatians 3 verse 16, he said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, that is God, saith not, and the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Paul explained the Galatians. Don't listen to the Jews who say, we're the seed of Abraham. Because the seed of Abraham is Christ Jesus. Do they have the seed of Abraham? Do they have Christ Jesus? No. Their Talmud says, we don't believe in that wicked and devilish man, Jesus. He's a magician. He's a blasphemer. His mother is a whore. That's what they say. Do they believe in Jesus Christ who preaches the everlasting gospel, who brings in the kingdom? No, they don't.
Well, they don't need it because they have the old covenant.
My friends, if you were going to a high school, and they found all kind of new knowledge that we have these planets in existence, that the earth is made of this, and, you know, all kinds of new knowledge in history and science. Would you go to some high school that has the knowledge that was known in, let's say, the year 1780? Or would you like to send your child or you to go to a high school that has the knowledge as of 2016? Or 15, that is. I'm getting ahead of myself here, aren't I? I am a future thinking man, for sure, a visionary. Think about that.
Well, I want to go to that school that's, you know, 1780. I don't want to know about all these things in science and medicine, and I just want to, you know,
yeah, you want, okay, fine. Don't think you're going to be educated, though. There's a lot in the world that's gone on since 1780. You got television and radio and aircraft and jets and the nuclear bomb, and you got all kinds of good and bad things that you need to know about if you're going to be a well-educated person. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're an heir. Whatever Abraham got, his inheritance, you have it too. You're Abraham's children because you're God's children. Because Abraham had a seed, and his seed was Christ. That's right. Right directly all the way down. Look at the two lineages found in the Bible. One in Matthew. You'll find that it's where Jesus came from. Even the Apostle Paul recognizes this. He said in Peter 1, verse 18 through 25, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Think about that. He was talking to the Jews here. He says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Your vain conversation that you received by tradition from your fathers. They sat down, they told you all about the great old patriarchs of the faith, didn't they? They told you all about the Talmud and the Kabbalah and all the great things of the wise Jews, the divine peoples, God's chosen people. Did that save you, he says? Were you redeemed by the conversation received by tradition from your fathers? See, the fathers of Israel did not tell the children about Jesus. And even after Jesus came, they said, let's blot out that name forever. That's what it says in Talmud, let's blot it out. Now let me tell you about the traditions of the elders, the wise rabbis. That's the tradition that you need to know about. That's what will win you redemption. Oh, no difference. That's not redemption. That's captivity. That's bondage. What was your redemption? How did you achieve redemption as the seed of Abraham? And I don't care if you're Chinese or African or American or Mexican or whatever. You do it, says Peter, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. It says being born again. Oh, yes, being born again. You know, I've been on a lot of radio shows. And I get Methodist ministers that call in, or Presbyterians or Lutherans. I don't know about being born again. I've never been born again, and I'm a pastor. Of what, Lucifer? How can you preach? A pastor, you're leading a flock. Where are you leading them to? Straight into hell. You must be born again. John 3, verse 3. And Peter repeated what Jesus said is you got to be born again.
Well, I'm not born again. I'm preaching and I'm...
Listen, I can be a casino mogul in Las Vegas. What does that got to do with the kingdom of God? And I can likewise be a pastor of a Lutheran or Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist or Church of Christ church. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Jew has corruptible seed. It's corrupt, physically corrupt. But God's seed is incorruptible. It's spiritual. You cannot tarnish it. You can't change it. It's not genetically modified. It's not a GMO. Man can't make it into something it's not. It is the word of God. It is the seed of God, which liveth and abideth forever, says Peter. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you, the everlasting gospel. It's preached also unto the Jews, but they won't believe it. It's preached to atheists throughout the world, but they don't believe it. Well, the blessing. Christian Zionists believe in the blessing, but only physical Jews get the blessing, not you. Well, I've got Jesus. I've received heaven as my inheritance. What more can I receive?
Well, there's the city of Jerusalem, and there's the nation of Israel, and there's going to be a temple we're going to build, and that's all your inheritance. Well, I don't want that.
And Abraham didn't want it either. And none of the prophets or patriarchs of the faith wanted it.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the blessing.
The one that they're talking, the Jews are all the time talking about our blessing is from Abraham. He didn't want it. He didn't want it.
We'll discuss that when we return.
Christian Zionists, I hope you're listening today. I hope you're getting angry. I hope you're about ready to throw rotten tomatoes at me or something. I like people to get angry. That's the first step in finding out the truth, discovering the truth. Get angry. Get angry and say, that's not right. I'm gonna study that on my own. I'm giving you a lot of verses today. You study them on your own. And ask the Holy Spirit to come in your heart and plant the seed that will be your redemption. And you will receive an eternal inheritance because you will accept and believe in and be fulfilled by the power of the everlasting gospel. I'm Tex Morris. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. This is Tex Morris again. You know,
I'm author of a book that I just believe was inspired by God. It's entitled DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And it talks about all the new research considering the Jews. Genetically, who are they related to? Well, it turns out that the people that we call Jews today are Ashkenazi Jews, and they do not originate from the Middle East, but from Europe, from Eastern Europe. In fact, they come from the country, the great country of Khazaria. And there they converted to Judaism. They're Jews, all right, by religion, but not by race. But they claim they are by race. They say they deserve the land. They should possess the land because they're Jews. Well, I don't find that in the Bible at all, that converted Jews from Khazaria, a nation in Eastern Europe, are going to be... Where's that in the Bible? You see it at all? No. You need to get my book. It explains this, the DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Now, the great news for the Jew is now that it's discovered that you're not related DNA-wise, you can't find your DNA all the way back in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as has been lied to you and told you about for so many years, you're just like, well, you're like old Tex Mars. You're like Jerry. You're like Tom and Bill and Sandra and Dinah. You're like every other person on earth. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be tall, you can be fat and short. But as Bob Dylan used to say, that's why I'll quote old Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. Maybe the devil or maybe God, said Dylan, but you got to serve somebody. Well, I don't know much about Dylan's faith life, but I know he's right in that. How about you? I know he's right. And so this book tells the truth. This book will deliver the Jew from the horrible captivity that's grasped him all his life. He's been lied to. He's like every other person. He's not a divine race. He's not God's chosen. He's a person that needs to listen to the everlasting gospel and become the seed of Jesus Christ. Become the seed. You're not the seed as a Jew. You don't belong to Abraham. You have no genetic inheritance there. You need a heavenly inheritance. The same heavenly inheritance that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the prophets, they received it. And they were very thankful for it. And they were thankful for the land that they received, so-called, in heaven. Actually, they were just thankful that they were going to heaven. They were going to have Jesus Christ as their Lord. That's the eternal inheritance. That's what you want, my friends. No mind has ever conceived anything greater than that. Paul said your imagination can't even stir up the thoughts of heaven, let me tell you. Now, this book, you know, this book is not just about DNA science. It's about the things I'm talking about today. It's about Christians who claim to be Christians but are Zionists, who have made an idol of Israel and who preach that Israel is really more important than Jesus Christ, the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom. This corrects that false teaching. My book will give you chapter after chapter, which tells the truth about these great, great and wonderful things. That every person is eligible for heaven. Every person is eligible for heaven, but not every person is foreordained for heaven. You can close the door. Jesus is knocking. He knocks at your door. You can open it and invite him in. Or you can say, well, I'm a Jew. I don't need you. I already got my own covenant. You close the door and slam in his face. You're going to regret it someday. Because he's going to say to you, Mr. or Miss Jew, I was knocking at your door. I knocked over and over. But you never answered. And you're going to be left dumbfounded, my friends. Dumbfounded. You're going to be unable to speak. You're not going to be able to give an excuse. And Jesus is going to call his servants and say, this one came into the banquet. This man came into the banquet. And he doesn't have on the right clothes. Kick him out. Cast him out of the kingdom. He doesn't deserve it.
he never believed in my everlasting gospel. I sent that angel to earth. He preached the everlasting gospel to every tongue, every nation, all the people of earth. But this man refused. Cast him out of the kingdom. He is not one of my invited guests. That's what the Bible says will happen. I want you to have this book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. It could be the most important book you will ever have in your life. I want you to give it to others. If every person listening to my voice would buy 3 copies of this book and give them to friends, oh, what a difference we could make in the kingdom of God with this great truth. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, $20. I think it's $21.95 at bookstores, but we'll give it to you for $20. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. As for DNA Science book, that's simple as that. Or you can say DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. It's around 250 pages long, and you'll be inspired by the truth. If you're a Jew, I think you'll be led to Christ through this book. You'll understand that we love you. We want you with us in the kingdom. We want you to believe in the everlasting gospel. I'd like you as my neighbor in heaven. I don't know where I'm going to live, but wherever it is, it's going to be a fine place. Maybe a cottage or a shack or a castle, whatever it is. I'm going to love it. And if you're there, it'll be even greater. Come on, my friend, be with me. Believe in the gospel, the everlasting gospel. This book is $20, $25, really shipping and handling. Please order it through our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or just textmars.com. Or you can send us a letter and check or money order or cash. Send that to Power of Prophecy or Textmars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Let's see, how else can people get it? Oh, yeah, they can phone us. Sure, they can. Toll free. We'll pay for the call. 1-800-234-9673. Now, if you're a Messianic Christian, you need this too. Seems the Messianic Christians are the ones that are the most Zionist, the most mixed up people. They despise me for writing this book, and all I do is just tell them about Jesus' word. But I want Messianic Christians everywhere to buy this book. You need this book. You need to kick out Zionism and bring in the everlasting gospel, the new covenant that is found only in Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Now let's return to our regular program. We're going to talk a little bit about Abraham now, this second half. You see, Abraham's story, everybody brings it up to me. Well, what about Abraham? What about Abraham? That's in Genesis. You know, he received a blessing because he believed in God. You're not going to receive a blessing because you don't believe what Abraham believed in. Yes, I do. Everything. Abraham is my father. I believe in everything that he believed in. Now, let's just read that. Now, the Lord said unto Abraham, this is Genesis 12, get thee out of thy country, which was Ur of the Chaldees in Babylon, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay, now let's see that right there. Let's stop. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, how is Abraham blessed? What is the greatest way that God could bless him? Give him the everlasting gospel. And he did. Give him the everlasting gospel. He said, well, Jesus, he didn't even exist back then. So what? He was from the foundation of the world is with God. He is God. He created the heavens and the earth. So Abraham was told about him. And was he ever blessed by that knowledge? I know about Jesus Christ. I know. In fact, Jesus told the Jews, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, Abraham saw my time and he was happy to see it. He knew about it. He knew about Jesus Christ. That's how you can bless Abraham. That's the way Abraham was blessed, through Jesus, the everlasting gospel. And curse him that curses thee. If you want to curse Abraham, say, well,
You Jews, I don't want you to know about Jesus. Doesn't matter to you. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to evangelize to you. You can go to hell. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say to a person. But the same message can be sent by saying you don't need Jesus. I'm not going to preach to you because you don't really need Jesus. You have the old covenant. That's virtually the same thing. Now, it says there, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All Jewish families. Is that what it said? Oh, it didn't? Oh, let me read it to you again. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You mean Chinese? Yes. Japanese? Yes. South American? Yes. Canadian? American? English? German? Yes. All families are blessed. How? By the everlasting gospel that Abraham had. You can believe as Abraham did. He believed and it was accounted to him for faith. He believed. It was given him. He was given credit. But he didn't do the works. He just believed in the everlasting gospel. Now listen to this. This is in Galatians. Then we read, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. It's not by race. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. It says here, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you are the same as the children of Abraham. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Abraham had faith. That was the great blessing given to him. He had faith in Jesus. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Oh, well, only to the Jews? It doesn't say that. His seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's the seed of Abraham, Christ. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. The promise of an eternal inheritance. A heavenly inheritance. Not an earthly. Then he goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, that is Gentile. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, Jew listening to me today, you're not distinct. You're not separate. You're one, if you believe in Christ, with Christ Jesus. You're one with me. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, no. Oh, no, the Southern Baptist says. The Pentecost say, oh, no, I'm not Abraham's seed. I am not. I will not accept that. I will. No, that doctrine is of the devil. No. Really? Can you repeat after me, friend? Can you repeat these words after me? These are Paul's words. This is right out of the gospel in Galatians 3, verses 7 through 29. In fact, this is 29. Listen. Repeat after me. Christian Zionists, repeat after me. And if ye be Christ's, are you Christ's? Do you belong to Jesus? Oh yes, I walked that aisle. I accepted the promise of, you know, by faith of salvation. And so yes, I am of Jesus. Okay. I'm not going to argue that. Then if you're accepted, you're of Jesus. Then are ye Abraham's seed? No, I'm not. No. What we just admitted here. Are you repeating after me? I didn't make these words up. This is what the Bible says. This is Galatians 3, verse 29. Now, this is sort of the way I worked with that Baptist pastor. He didn't even want to read this. I'm not going to read that. No. Well, what do you preach people when you teach it? I don't teach that. My people, they study the truth about the Jews and their covenant. You don't preach Galatians 3, verse 29? No. You can really get mixed up with that stuff. Yeah, I bet you can. I bet your seminary or your Bible college was all mixed up. You're mixed up. Your people are confused. And you know what? You don't need to preach anything. This is the good news. Folks, I don't need to preach you anything. I don't need to teach you anything. The Holy Ghost will preach and teach you everything to you. That's what it says in the Bible. You say, well, I have such a bad, you know, voice. I just can't preach. People won't listen to me. Really? Well, I just get all mixed up and I try to preach and I don't know what I... Well, shut up.
Just say to the person, would you please read this? Say, I have a weak voice. I don't have, you know, I'm not a real personable guy. Maybe I have my weaknesses. I wish you would help me out. Ask the person to help you out. Ask the person you're trying to reach for Christ and for his kingdom. Say, would you please read this for me? I'll just sit here and listen while you read this. There you're preaching, folks. There you're preaching. There you're my goodness. You're letting them read the word of God. What better thing can happen? They read the word of God and it goes in their heart and they go, oh my goodness, eureka, flash, I get it. Now, many people have written me and said, Tex, I didn't know these words were in the Bible. And I read them and I said, what could they mean? And I wrote a magnet and said, well, they mean what they say. God doesn't lie. God doesn't lead you around the bush. He tells you directly. He says, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and you're an heir according to the promise. What's an heir? You get the inheritance. The promise is yours. What is the promise? A heavenly inheritance. A heavenly kingdom. You receive the everlasting gospel. That's the faith. And remember what Paul said? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. Who gets it? Gentiles. Oh, no, it's just the Jews. They're the only ones that receive the blessing of Abraham. In thee, all families on the planet earth shall be blessed. That's the Zulus of Africa. That's the Incas and the Aztecs down in Mexico and South America. That's the Eskimos up in Alaska. Every tongue, every kindred, every people is blessed and becomes Abraham's children. And the seed of Abraham, which is Christ Jesus. You see, you get it? You're of Abraham. You're of Christ. And you're all connected. You see, we're all lively stones, the Bible says in Revelation. I think it's Revelation. I'll look it up here real quick. You're all lively stones framed, perfectly put together by Jesus Christ, who is he's the head of it. Boy, this is blessed material. Now, you want to bless yourself? Bless Abraham. Bless what Abraham did. He believed in Jesus. Do the works of Abraham. What works is that? He believed. Had faith. It was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed. Now, let's go in here. Let's turn in the Bible a little bit more to, Okay. Here we go. Let's go to Revelation 2, verse 26. Who's going to have power over the nations? The Jews in the last days? It says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I think that means you, my friends. If you overcome the devil by your faith in Jesus Christ, you will inherit the promises given Abraham, and you will have power over the nations. Now, people tell me, oh, the Jews will have the power, because when Christ comes back, he's going to call on the Jews. They're all going to be preachers. There's going to be 144,000 Jews, and they're all going to be called to be preachers, and they're going to have power over the nations, and it doesn't say that at all. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. There's again. Now, what did Abraham really want? If you want to do the works of Abraham, if you want to be the seed of Abraham, what do you have to do? What did he really want? Oh, I know he wanted a good life and he wanted, you know, some cattle and he wanted, but I'm talking about what did he ultimately want? In his heart of hearts, what did Abraham desire? Well, the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 11, verse 10, it says, Abraham's desire was for a city promised him by God. The promise. Oh, yes, the promise. God said, you're going to receive a promise, an inheritance. But what was that city? Is it Tokyo? Is it Jerusalem? Must be Jerusalem. Maybe it's Washington, D.C. Maybe it's Moscow. Maybe it's Damascus. Maybe it's Cairo. No, no, no. It's a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Oh.
Hebrews 11:10. It is a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore God hath prepared for them a city. Where could that be? Oh, Revelation tells you about it. Heavenly Jerusalem. That's the city built. It has foundations. It has a builder. His name is God. He made it. It wasn't built with human hands. Jerusalem was. They're talking about rebuilding the temple. How are they going to build it? It's not going to be just poof, magic. They're going to have carpenters. They're going to have plumbers and painters and craftsmen and, you know, stonemen and all that come in and build it. Architects and all that is going to build a great temple. Remember they told Jesus, look at this great temple. Herod took, what did he take, 46 years to build this? 46 years to build this great temple. What do you think of that, Jesus? Jesus said, I'm going to tear it down in 3 days. And not a stone will be left upon it. Oh, you're going to tear it down? It took 46 years to build. You're going to tear it down in 3 days? He says, tear down this temple, and I will build it again in 3 days. Of course, he was talking about himself, his body. You tear it down, you destroy it, and he'll rise up in 3 days. He'll live again. But as far as that temple goes, Abraham didn't look for that temple. He didn't look for Jerusalem. He didn't pray as the Jews do every day, give us Jerusalem, Lord. Next year, Jerusalem, the Jews pray constantly. Abraham and the Old Testament prophets considered themselves, listen to this, folks, strangers and pilgrims on earth. That's what we're supposed to consider ourselves. You're supposed to be I'm not of this earth. You're an extraterrestrial alien. That's right. You don't have your citizenship papers here. You have them in heaven. God has prepared you a better country than you can find on this planet. A better country. It's heavenly. And God has prepared there a city for you, Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. Now today, Zionist Jews, evangelical Judaizers have exalted the earthly city of Jerusalem. Oh, they venerate this city. They blasphemously call it holy. Oh, the Holy Land. This is the Holy Land, the holy city. Abraham wouldn't agree to that. He looked not to an earthly city, but to a heavenly. See, you get it all mixed up about Abraham, about the prophets, Isaac, Jacob, all of them. Now, Paul expressed it very succinctly. Listen to Paul. Here is the attitude that you and I are supposed to have. We're supposed to have the attitude and do the works of, which is faith, of Abraham. We're supposed to believe like the Old Testament prophets. Here's what Paul said they believed. For here, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Oh, I'm looking to Jerusalem. I'm sending money there to rebuild the temple. Oh, yeah. Temple for the Antichrist. That's what you're sending money for. For here we have no continuing city. Those few words can change everything, folks. Christians are the seed, and they are to inherit all things. So did God tell the Jews, take back the land? Go back to Israel and possess the land? He didn't care about that land. What did Jesus tell the Jews? He says, you neither know me nor my Father. Christians, honest, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the Father. He says, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Wait a minute. They have the old covenant. They can't die. What if they do the, what if they follow it right? What if they learn it and they practice and learn about the Talmud in their yeshivas and their religious academies and they're wonderful, pious Jews? You mean they're going to go to hell? They're going to die in their sins? That's right. Because Jesus says, ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Ye are from beneath. That's hell. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Do you want to be of this world? Then you're going to cleave to the fact that you're an American, that you're a Zionist, that you believe in the Holy Land, that piece of dirt. I don't care where it, whether it's Mozambique or Arabia or Israel. It's nothing to God. Ye are of this world, he told the Jews. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, that is God, ye shall die in your sins. Are you one of those Christian Zionists who tell the Jews, oh, surely you will go to heaven because you believe in Abraham and the patriarchs. You believe in the Old Testament. You've got it made. You believe in the Old Covenant. Oh, you're just following that Old Covenant. Now, I know that you don't believe in Jesus. I know that you rejected him. But don't worry. Your Old Covenant will get you there. You're a liar. You're lying to that man. You're sending him straight to hell. Don't do that, friends. Now, Jesus taught us that the Jews will be cast out of God's kingdom. Where did I get that? Galatians 4, verses 21 through 31. It's a story of Hagar, Isaac. It says, for this Hagar answer that corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, that is in heaven, is free. Now we, brethren, Christian brethren, that is, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Oh, yes, the promise. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So then the Jews are of the bondwoman. They're of Hagar. They're not of Sarah. They're not free. They're in bondage to Satan. That's what it says there. I've never read that in the Bible. No, you haven't, because pastors won't preach it to you. I've just read it to you. I've just told you this great passage. And what more does it say in Galatians? Read this, verse, chapter 4, verse 30. It says, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Who is the son of the bondwoman? The Jew. He will not be heir with the son of the free woman. That's us, friends. That's us. That's Christians. As far as the temple goes, the book of Acts tells about that. The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? No, God will not live any place built with human hands. That's over. That's gone. We have a new covenant. Heaven alone is God's throne. And earth, including the heaven, the so-called earthly city of Jerusalem, is but his footstool. It's his footstool. It's not his throne. It's his footstool. Christian Zionist, these are verses from the true word of God. And there's so much more. There's so much more. Read the Bible for yourself. Don't listen to your pastors. Read it for yourself. Ask the Holy Ghost to interpret it for you. You'll be happy you did. Very happy. I'm Tex Mars. Been great. It's been a privilege to share with you today here on Power of Prophecy. And my great desire for you is that you tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.